Psychoanalytic authors did not utilize this method in a correct way when they transferred it from the individual to social groups and social phenomena. Page 486. Here, a further clarification is called for. We have emphasized the modifiability of the instinctual apparatus through the influence of external and ultimately social factors. But one should not overlook the fact that the instinctual apparatus, both quantitatively and qualitatively, has certain physiologically and biologically determined limits to its modifiability, and that only within these limits it is subject to the influence of social factors. Because of the force of the energy it sends forth, moreover, the instinctual apparatus itself is an extremely active force. Inherent in it is the tendency to alter living conditions so that they serve instinctual goals. In the interplay of interacting psychic drives and economic conditions, the latter have primacy, not in the sense that they represent the stronger motive for questions is spurious because we are not dealing with quantitatively comparable motives on the same plane. They have primacy in the sense that the satisfaction of the need for self-preservation is tied up with material production, and that the modifiability of the economic reality is more restricted than the modifiability of the human instinctual apparatus, in particular the sexual instinct. Applying the method of psychoanalytic individual psychology to social phenomena, we find that the phenomena of social psychology are to be understood as process involving the active and passive adaptation of the instinctual apparatus to the socio-economic situation. In certain fundamental respects, the instinctual apparatus itself is a biological given, but it is highly modifiable. The role of primary formative factors goes to the economic conditions. The family is the essential medium through which the economic situation exerts its formative influence on the individual psyche. The task of social psychology is to explain the shared social relevant psychic attitudes and ideologies and their unconscious root in particular in terms of the influence of economic conditions on libido strivings. So far then, the method of analytical social psychology seems to dovetail with the method of Freudian individual psychology and with the requirements of historical materialism. But new difficulties arise when this method is confused with an erroneous but widespread interpretation of the Marxist theory, the notion that historical materialism is a psychological theory or, more specifically, an economistic psychology. If it were true, as Bertrand Russell claims, footnote 13, text, that Marx saw making money and Freud saw love as the decisive motive of human conduct, then the two theories would be as irreconcilable as Russell believes. Consider his hypothetical example and the Mayfly.